on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Jim Mellon, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. As we do each and every morning, it's time to welcome in our good friend.
Conrad Thompson.
Good morning, Conrad. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, we didn't get to this with you last week. We couldn't connect for some reason, but I saw this story and I just wanted to get your opinion on it. This Conor McGregor getting in a fight with like an Irish mob boss, and apparently this dude's like a lieutenant, and people think he's been responsible for over 13 murders or something crazy. And Dana White just basically saying, "Yeah, that's not a good thing to do. I wouldn't recommend it." What's Conor McGregor thinking?
Dude, he's off the deep end right now. I don't know if you saw, but he got a pretty serious speeding ticket and had to appear in court for it and paid it. And then as soon as he got in his BMW i8, he rolled the window down right outside of the courthouse and said, "Catch me if you can," and sped away. This is just where he's at, but he's at least entertaining, you know. Over the weekend, Tony Ferguson, who's sort of been calling him out, had a war and then was photographed in a wheelchair with like his face looks like something from Rocky III or something. And he's the guy who a few months ago had all the attention from the UFC, and he's doing his sparring with sunglasses on. Like he's in the gym working out with shades on. So he's trying to make a spectacle of himself. Well, Conor couldn't help himself and reposted the picture of him beat up after the fight and said, "I missed the sunglasses." So, I mean, he still understands how to promote and how to make a spectacle of yourself and how to get people's attention. But, man, picking fights with the local government and mob bosses at the same time, you're doing too much.
Wow. I mean, I understand you got the cash flowing in like never before, but that middle finger to everybody is usually not the best idea. A lot of people are saying because of two SEC teams in the playoff that immediately is going to lead to this thing expanding. I don't personally believe that that is best for college football or really even best for business. But what do you think about the future of the college football playoff when it comes to expansion?
Well, I mean, I think it's inevitable that they're not done tinkering. You know, it feels like they've been tinkering with this system for 20 years now. And I'm not opposed to there being some changes. I had a long conversation with somebody yesterday who really believes that we should have a 16-team playoff and then scrap some of the sort of less than challenging regular season games. So maybe get rid of a Colorado State or a Mercer from Alabama's schedule and instead add another playoff game or two. I mean, in theory, that seems fun, but it also sort of eliminates what I enjoy the most about college football in that every Saturday matters. You know, we've talked about this with the NFL, but, man, you can have five losses and still make it and win the Super Bowl. And you could also be, you know, perfect like the Patriots were 10 years ago and then lose it at the end. And it's just, it's not an ideal setup for me to sort of make college football more like the NFL. I enjoy that every Saturday matters. So I'm okay with the way this shook out. And I think the matchmakers, the committee, they line this up perfect because no matter what happens, it's going to be entertaining on the next level. Whether it's a Clemson and a Georgia, that'll be a cool little rivalry because of the proximity of the schools. Or whether it's a Clemson, Oklahoma, that ought to be a shootout. Alabama versus anybody on the other side. And then on the way there, we get the rubber match with Alabama Clemson. I think a lot of people are into that, you know, 3 years running. So I think they got it right, but we'll know in about a month, I guess.
Conrad Thompson of First Family Mortgage joining us. Do you think it's good or bad for business having Alabama Clemson 3?
I think it's great for business. You know, I think there's a lot of people who enjoyed the first two matchups. I think they're two of the best championship games I've ever seen. And the idea that we get to see it a third time is really intriguing to me. And I think everybody really likes, you know, sort of conclusion. They like the rubber match. They like the trilogy. You know, they want some sort of closure to this. And this really does it. You know, if with both teams having one apiece, this is almost like it was scripted this way, at least from my view. And, of course, I guess technically you could say it is based on the way the committee has put it together. I think it'll do a huge rating. It's obvious when you look at the way tickets have sold. Ticket sales are way, way up from this same bowl last year. It feels like it's going to be the real national championship. And, of course, when somebody has to play Oklahoma, who's probably, at least in my country math worldview, about as dominant as it gets right now, it ought to be just higher and higher. I think both of these games will set records.
Visiting with Conrad Thompson, First Family Mortgage. When you look at the potential SEC showdown in the final, is that going to be good or bad for business from a ratings perspective? We know Birmingham, Atlanta, probably Nashville, other markets like that are going to be gigantic. But do you think that that game would or could do a big number nationally?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, every time I it feels like you and I have this conversation, and the stuff that we think is going to blow it out is about 50-50. I was a little disappointed in the rating this past weekend. I kind of assumed that Georgia-Auburn would have done a much bigger rating, especially with it being a rematch, as hot as, you know, Auburn had been, coming off wins of both teams. So, you know, I'm not sure. What's your take on how the rating would come down for that?
I think that it's still the college football playoff championship game. It's still the only sporting event of any relevance on that night. We know one thing about college football fans. They love college football. Bama's going to bring a big number. It's been a while since Georgia's been in this spot. I think that helps bring a big number. I don't think it would set a record as far as the biggest audience of a college football playoff game, but I could see it being the most watched game of the year and still doing a really, really strong number.
Yeah, I think it would be great for college football. You know, that's, to me, is really what we're trying to push, because you see all the metrics show that the NFL is down a little bit. You know, of course, a lot of the naysayers want to show lots of pictures of empty seats and say it's way, way down. But I should remind everybody that while interest may be down, all of those seats were sold. And I think that's lost on a lot of people. So when you see, like at the Cowboys game this past weekend, there were tons of pictures floating around with empty seats. And people are saying, oh, look, the NFL's dying. No, all those seats were paid for. I mean, somebody paid for those tickets and then just decided not to come. So if you're an owner, yeah, you'd like for those people to be there, but I'm okay with them just being sold out too. And I really like that college football right now, we don't have the sort of controversy that the NFL does. And obviously, everybody listening to this station is more of a college football fan than an NFL fan. So that's great for business.
All right. I don't know anyone better to solve this debate that I'm having on Twitter right now than you. So last night, William Wise tweets me in reference to Alabama-Clemson again. Let's be honest, the two best teams the last 3 years has been Clemson and Bama. Though this isn't the best team Bama has had, they still the man. Flair always said, to be the man, you got to beat the man. My response to that was, isn't Clemson kind of the man right now then? Defending national champions, number one in the nation. I know it's not easy to hear, but... and then Jason Tiffin responds, I get what you're saying. So why aren't fan bases chanting, we want Clemson? Just because Flair or Hogan weren't currently the champion didn't mean they weren't still the man. I know that's hard to hear, but... So... Alabama, the man right now, in your opinion?
Yeah, Alabama's the man. Clemson is Sting. And, you know, Sting was cool. But at the end of the day, you know, the big gold belt had Ric Flair's name on it. And everybody knew that Flair was the real champion, and he would just take a break here or there and give everybody else a chance. But in the end, Flair was the man, and Sting is Clemson. Because, well, like he said, Nobody's out here chanting, we want Clemson. And there's not like, and I know some of ours are made up, Roll Tide, but there's not like this list of title reigns, you know? So Alabama's out here running around saying 16 times, limousine riding, jet flying. Yeah, Alabama's the man.
Wouldn't it be fair to say, though, that nobody ever chanted, we want Flair?
Actually, they did chant, we want Flair.
Okay.
A lot. Now, here's the deal, though. To be clear, you know, are you saying you're the man because you won one time? Like, to me, you know, is Steve Young the man or is Joe Montana the man? Get out of here. You know what I mean? Like, Joe Montana's the man. That's not up for debate because you can look at what Joe Montana has done. Not like last year, not like right now, but over his career, Joe Montana's the man. Well, Steve Young won one too. Okay, cool. He's Clemson. He's Sting. Hey, you're a good guy. You're Lex Luger. Congratulations. You're champion. But you're not the man.
Well, First Family Mortgage is also the man when it comes to saving you money. To our listeners, Hal.
Man, a quick 10-minute phone call right now on your ride to work, and we're going to go ahead and take care of your immediate needs and your long-term needs. Right now, it would probably be helpful not to have to make a January house payment. I can make that happen. Blow it out for Christmas, take care of the family, and don't stress out about it. We can even help you pay off all the credit card debt you may have racked up. And let's be honest, about a month from now, you're going to make a list of New Year's resolutions, and somewhere in the top five is going to be get out of debt and save money. You can do both of those today. Take advantage of a great opportunity right now to get a better house payment and get better terms on your loan. Not just an interest rate, but how many payments are you signing up for? We routinely help people get out of bad agreements. And what are we talking about? A 30-year loan. Really add 30 years to how old you are now. Do you want a house payment then? I can't imagine entering into any 30-year agreement without at least wondering, how old am I going to be when this thing's done? Especially not my single biggest bill. If you're in a 30-year loan, it's not a matter of if I can save you money. It's a matter of how much. Find out right now for free on your ride to work. You don't need perfect credit. You don't need money out of your pocket. Punch it in your phone. It's 425-0105.
I got to stop you here. So one guy responds into this conversation and said, everyone chants Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldberg was the man, but not just for, you know, a year. Goldberg was the man in WCW for years and years.
I have a perfect Goldberg for you. Tell me if you agree. Notre Dame.
That's actually really fair. I'm going to go. Well, what's weird about that, too, is we're talking about the Catholics and the Jews. So roll tide on that. Hey, man, Alabama's the man. Sorry to hurt your feelings, but when you beat Alabama in a regular season game, you storm the damn field. That means you're the man.
Yeah, there you go. Good stuff, Conrad. Look forward to catching up tomorrow.
See you guys.
Conrad Thompson with First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com. Good stuff there today. Let's get to 10 after tweets.
Bring me the tweets!
Alabama or Clemson the man right now?
I'm always whoever's the champion then. I get it, like, no, but when is Alabama not going to be the man historically? They have all the championships. Whoever wins more championships eventually can be the man. In that case, Alabama will be the man for at least 10 years, more years. Like, unless, like, USC wins 7 or 8 in the next 10 years. Unless Notre Dame wins 7 or 8 in the next 10 years. So, I'm for who's got the belt now.
The strap. We're going to make that our second poll question of the day.
You got the belt currently is on Clemson's waist.
Unless you play wide receiver for Ole Miss.
That's the worst belt I've ever seen in my life.
Or just got an interception at Alabama.
See, that's not that bad of a belt. The Ole Miss belt is just miserable.
Or if you're Troy and you beat South Alabama.
Well, now that's... What do they call that belt?
Battle of the Belt, I believe.
I think that's right. Boy, so simple yet so delicious.
Battle for the Belt via Google.
Via Google search.
Sun Belt. Battle for the Belt, Sun Belt. Troy, South Alabama football rivalry. Known as the Battle for the Belt.
I'm not mad at it. Simple.
All-time series?
Nope. I don't even care. It's not a series. It's not a series till you hit 50.
Yeah, it's 50-50, 3-3 is the all-time series.
My bad. You're right. I had that all wrong.
Oh. Nick tweets in at Cole Kubrick, Bama is still the standard / emoji crown of college football, even with the lost last year. Well, I tell you, this is the worst grammar day in all of Twitter I've ever seen, and I'm usually not that guy, but holy
Twitter
hell,
is
it's really
grammar.
Bad today.
Twitter is not for grammar.
Dan Strickland tweets pretty positive at, hey, it's Conrad has done this a time or two.
Bill Big D says at Arkishe an hour ago, good feedback on the DL offer from Bama. As for Malik Langham, the Lee Hunts will start. I went and, what was their second play? I actually had a chance to go watch them, the last week of the season, because Randolph was off. How do they play that week? I forget. Anyway, doesn't matter. Malik Langham, going to be a real good one. Whoever gets him. I mean, Kentucky's on him. Okay, sorry about that. Sorry. I know Bama wants a guy. It's hard to lose him to Kentucky and Vanderbilt. But it's weird. He, as far as I could tell, I thought his coaches were telling me he liked Vanderbilt. But this was, again, before, Alabama was in on the offering process. I think his last official that I remember seeing was to Vanderbilt, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a few weeks.
Bill Clark at Bill Dizzle tweets at Cube Show, Bama v. Clemson is Flair v. Dusty.
Hot times. Hey, listen, here's the question. From B-Ran. How hard is it for Ed Arkishe to say Bama is the man? This is such a stupid hypothetical thing. What are you talking about? They have all the national championships. What are you talking about? They are historically the men. I just always seem to like the guy who's got the belt now. Isn't that who you go after? Were people going after Bama being the man when Mike Shula was there?
So we have
just got all the titles. That's fine.
We have two Cole questions of the day. The first being, who will win the 2017 CFB playoff? Currently, 37% say Clemson.
Okay, it's early.
26% say Alabama.
It's early. That'll change.
The second Cole question of the day today is, who is currently, quote, the man? # Cole question of the day presented by at Dreamland BBQ. It's early, 4 votes in, but 5 votes in, 80% say Clemson.
Moon Pie has a good explanation for everything. He says, my grammar is bad because it's raining outside.
There, see?
I approve. By the way, once it stops raining, which will be a little bit later, the Huntsville Parade tonight, come see the ump truck. And while you're waiting, you can listen to the Mike Mularkey Show at 6 o'clock right here on the ump.
Oh.
Tomorrow on the hump, what do we have? Who is that? Alabama plays Rhode Island. Yeah, Alabama plays Rhode Island at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Rhode Island, the Rams. You know what's funny? Every team that Alabama plays, win or lose, they tell me it's going to be a great win or loss based on the tournament. I was told that by UCF. UCF was 4-3 coming into that game, but they'll figure it out, right, guys? Rhode Island's already been previewed as a great NCAA team. It's going to be a good win for them if they can get it tomorrow, which I kind of agree with that one. But the last few have been, hey, that's not bad. That's not bad. Alabama had been undefeated when they had all five players on the court until Sunday.
Joel Carlton tweets in, Georgia is, quote, mean Mark Callum, and I think Kirby is Paul Bearer.
What? Kirby's
good thing we have somebody in studio who can help us out with that.
I don't know who Mean Joe Green. Who is it?
Mark Callum. I don't either, but I know who Paul Bearer is.
Wait, isn't the Undertaker's name Mark? I think that's who that is. That's like the original Undertaker. Oh yes, the original before the Taker.
How do you feel about your matchup with Baker Mayfield?
I'm going to kill him, Cole. And at the end of the Rose Bowl, Cole, he will be dead. Dead.
All right. We probably
Yeah, we should go.
Probably should get to a break. Antonio Morales joins us next to talk Ole Miss sanctions right after this. Again, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Listen online, umpsports.com. Antonio Morales joining us now, Ole Miss beat writer for the Clarion Ledger. Follow him on Twitter at Antonio C. Morales. Antonio, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Cole. How you doing?
Doing well. What has the reaction been from those inside the athletic department at Ole Miss since the allegations have been dropped?
The tone has shifted at Ole Miss. I think that started Friday with their press conference with the Chancellor Jeff Ritter and Ross Bjork. I think the tone shifted to more anger. I think they were a little bit more subdued before the allegations dropped, and I think obviously it wasn't a result they wanted, and they felt they were treating them fairly. So I think the tone has changed from, like I said earlier, subdued to a little bit more of anger and, you know, thinking the process was unfair and they didn't even get due procedures and all that stuff.
Antonio Morales joining us, talking Ole Miss and their sanctions that were laid down last week. Second-year bowl ban, was that surprising to you?
Not really, just given the volume of the case. There was 21 allegations and 15 level one allegations in there. So to me, I think that was kind of hard to overcome, just the pure volume of the allegations, just how many there were and what they were being accused of. So, you know, nothing was surprising in this case.
Visiting with Antonio Morales of the Clarion Ledger, does this, when you go back and look now at Matt Luke being named the Ole Miss head coach, does it make you believe that that was something that they had to do because of what they believed these allegations or these would be?
I think it made the search harder just because they didn't know what the allegations were going to be and which coach is going to want to risk, you know, what up-and-comer is going to want to risk, you know, a rising career where they don't know what those allegations were going to be, and they didn't know if there was going to be a second-year bowl ban. They didn't know what the scholarship reductions were going to be like. Ole Miss contempt, they didn't have any indication before they hired Matt Luke. So, you know, we'll see how that goes.
When you look at Shea Patterson and the fact that he was given the ability to seek a transfer, why do you think he was given that option?
I'm sure it's, you know, his side asked for that. And his career just hasn't gone the way many envisioned. Well, his time hasn't gone the way many envisioned. Once he got to Ole Miss, I think the first notice of allegations arrived a week later, or a couple weeks later. He obviously was thrown into the fire once Chad Kelly got hurt at the end of the 2016 season, and then his offensive coordinator was fired. So this season he's playing for the OC he didn't commit to and the coach he didn't commit to. Then he gets hurt. The school gets hit with a bowl ban in February and another one in this past year. So it just hasn't gone the way their side kind of envisioned things. So I think that's why he asked for it. And I don't think Ole Miss, I don't know how much they're fighting most of these requests to transfer.
Visiting with Antonio Morales. How many guys do you think will look to transfer? Not necessarily ask for a waiver or a release the way that Shea Patterson has, but the seniors who are eligible to leave. Do you think it will be somewhat of a mass exodus?
I'm not completely sure. Right now, what I know of, there hasn't been many seniors that have asked. It's been mostly that class of 2016, guys like Deontay Anderson, Jaden Street, Trey Nixon, Shea Patterson. We haven't heard much about the seniors. On Friday, Ross Bjork said he hadn't been contacted by any seniors yet. I haven't heard much about them. Those are the ones that can transfer. I think it seems like most of those guys will stay. But I think the class of 2016 is the one to keep an eye on regarding the transfers.
Do they have to ask?
Yeah, the way the process works is the senior class, the rising seniors, which is the class of 2015, can transfer without penalty. The junior class, class of 2016 and lower, they have to ask. They have to go to the normal NCAA transfer process. But the thing is, some of these guys have retained Thomas Mars, who is Houston Nutt's attorney, to try to seek assistance with this transfer process and stuff like that. So those guys, it seems like he's kind of trying to strong arm Ole Miss into letting them get, you know, the waivers to transfer without penalty.
And Tony, are you expecting any staff changes for Matt Luke before next season?
I think it's hard to say right now. I don't think there'll be any through the recruiting cycle. I think they'll keep Wesley McGriff, if I had to guess. I think they'll keep the Longo just for continuity. And I don't envision many right now.
And when you look at this football team, what do you expect now? No bowls. They're not going to have these extra practices. Going into next season, they exceeded expectations this year. And that's with Shea Patterson going down. Not many people thought they'd get to six. If you'd have told them that Shea Patterson was going to miss a good portion of the year, I don't think we definitely would have agreed to give them six wins. Can they be as competitive next year?
It's going to depend on the defense again. I think the offense, you know, the top-end talent they have on that side of the ball, a Greg Little, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf. They'll have to replace Jordan Wilkins, which will be a tough. He was a 1,000-yard rusher, kind of under the radar this year in the SEC. Jordan Tamu proved that he could be stable. I think defensively is where they're going to have issues again. Breland Speaks, he could go pro any day now. Marquise Haynes will be gone. DeMarcus Gates will be gone. And those guys kind of – those were the impact players in the front seven. And that front seven was already one that was struggling. And if you take those guys off it, it's going to be hard for them.
Antonio, great stuff, man. Really do appreciate the time. And I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
All right, thanks, Cole. I appreciate it.
So Antonio Morales saying that he doesn't expect many coaching changes. The offensive coordinator really is the one that I sort of think about. And yeah, Jordan Wilkins, that's the quietest 1,000 yards in SEC history.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. We haven't talked a ton about this Ole Miss situation since it definitely happened on Friday. I guess I'll start here. I don't think Breland Speaks comes back. I don't think he's the guy that wants – he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that wants to hang in for old Ole Miss. I think he is going pro. I don't think he would want to be a part of coming back. Shea Patterson's an interesting story because, you know, I had kind of forgotten about that for a moment and the circumstances how he got into the – how he got to start playing last year.
Yeah.
It was the same situation where he got not playing this year.
Sure.
Where he came in for an injury, Chad Kelly, and was replaced by injury as well this year. That is an interesting scenario. You know what's weird? I thought about this a lot over the weekend. Which is, how weird is it for Ole Miss and Ross Bjork that they basically get these sanctions essentially a week after they said Matt Luke's going to stay?
Yeah.
Like, I almost wonder if the NCAA waited until they made their decision on a coach to see if they wanted to go ahead and say, all right, here's your sanctions, or if Ross Bjork could have just held on a little bit longer. But as you heard Antonio said, he had no indication, apparently, did Ross Bjork, that they had any kind of timeline when these sanctions were going to come down. And so they had to make that decision about the coach, and they made it sooner rather than later. And I wonder this, Cole. If we got that news Friday, like we did with Ole Miss, if we had gotten it the previous Friday, or let's say the Monday after the Egg Bowl, do you think Matt Luke's the head coach right now? Because I think they could probably get somebody different.
Knowing that there's only
one more year bowl ban that you can appeal and maybe be able to get back. Knowing what your scholarship limitations are. Now, you may not be a great coach. And maybe Matt Luke's still the guy for you to get you through this and still be able to be that guy. But I'm curious, if he had known that, do you think this would be different?
I kind of don't, because I think the possibility of this is what was keeping people away. So then knowing it, I understand that where you're probably going is that, all right, we've got a solution here. This is what's going to be there, what you're going to have to deal with. And
we know that. We have to trudge through.
But I think this is the part that was scaring people away. Not just the bullpen, but then allowing players to get up and go leave. And probably the understanding that certain players who weren't going to qualify to be able to transfer were going to go ask for their release and have legal representation behind them to be able to do it, that your roster was going to be pillaged. And I don't think many people just wanted to step into that. It'd be tough to get somebody who I think would be better off directing your team than Matt Luke. And again, I'm not saying that I think Matt Luke's going to be a very good SEC head football coach. I mean, what he did last year was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be intriguing to see if they can – I mean, because they got to keep some of their offensive weapons if they're going to be formidable. And a lot of us think that they can be formidable this year because of what they have and because of the weaponry and because of the different kinds of talent that they're going to be able to utilize on offense. But, man, I don't know. So,
Johnny on a cell wants to chime in about the Matt Luke situation. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
To me, this pretty much parallels the Mike Shula days at Alabama, does it not?
Yeah, we love Bama.
A homegrown kid comes back, but you know, takes the role at the, you know, gets you through the probation years, and you know, tries to manage it. The fan base is going to be friendly to him because he was one of the guys that used to play there. So, you know, is it not very similar in circumstance?
I mean, I see
a little bit, yeah.
I see that because this is a janitorial hire, and if you're going to do that, why not do it with a guy that people are going to be understanding of, like, you know, an Ole Miss alum, a former player there, and someone who's going to know.
I mean, you know, the guy did win an Egg Bowl for him, you know, and that I'm sure that at the start of the year, if you told, you know, after Freeze was gone, if you told Ole Miss you're going to be Egg Bowl champ with this kid, this guy as your coach, they'd have backed up the Brinks truck for it. So
that's their game, you know, now. That's what they're looking forward to.
I like to say, though, I didn't like the breakdown in discipline I saw from them at that game. I mean, there was a lot of, mean-spirited. I mean, I get that rivalry's turned nasty, but
– No, that was more than that, Johnny.
There wasn't a lot of class there on the Ole Miss side there during that game.
No, and I tell you what, I think if Ole Miss –
Thanks for the call, Johnny.
I think if Ole Miss announces before that game that Matt Luke's going to be the coach next year, I think that wipes out a lot of that BS. I think a lot of those kids are thinking, hey, we aren't going to have to deal with these guys next year. We're going to have a new coach. I don't care what they think. Yeah, I'm going to go act like a dog and pee on a fire hydrant. Yeah, I'm a face mask guy. Yeah, I'm going to push and shove and get thrown out of a game. I don't think a lot of that stuff takes place if they know they're going to be under that leadership again next year. Because then as a player, you feel like, even though it's a long way away, that could hurt your position status going into next year. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to get in a coach's doghouse, even if it's 8 months away, 10 months away. It's dumb to do that. So I feel like they could have solved some of those problems if they knew this was the direction that they were going to go.
Yeah. You know what? That's not a bad idea. And by the way, don't think I'm not going to make that. I'm going to act like a dog peeing on a fire hydrant. That's going to become a promo.
You can go do it out in the hallway right now.
No. I'm making what you said to promo is what I'm saying. Hey, by the way, we come back. I'll announce the hover helmet winner. And
no! Who's the man?
The latest standings of who is the man who's on pace to win the overall championship. And our Dreamland Barbecue winners.
Back with more Cube Show next.
Show you how to be the man, how to be the boss, how to come through with 7 coats of the gloss. Show you how to be the man, show you how to be the man, show you how to be the man, how to be the boss.
Let this beat come in first, you're going to like it. Just hold on.
Curse word. We get close to curse word soon.
Show you how to be the man.
I'll let you cut it off.
Yeah, fucking 8th grade, banana bear rich. Picture wanna tell me be realistic.
All right, you like that.
And we're done.
You know you like it.
B word. Throwing out the B word on the internet. Don't want to hear that on the internet stream.
All right, currently, who is the man, quote unquote? Cold question of the day presented by Dreamland BBQ. Go to dreamlandbbq.com. You're not going to like this. And you can go to @ Cube Show via Twitter, and you can vote. 387 votes in, 65% say Clemson.
That's fair. Let's debate that. First, let me give away a couple of winners real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, your winners from the weekend. Let's start with your Dreamland Barbecue winners, Mr. Kublik. Who is the man when it comes to Dreamland Barbecue? Well, I guess when it comes to barbecue, it's Dreamland. But to winning it this week, we asked you to tell us which SEC team you think will have the most rushing yards this last week. There was two to choose from. The answer was Georgia. The winner was Georgia. And the winners of your $25 gift card to Dreamland Barbecue, Rock Warrior. Nice job, Rock. Not the Rock, but a Rock Warrior. And Bradley Futch.
All right.
Nice job, Brad. I call him B Futch for short.
Yeah.
We tie like that. B Futch. You guys will be getting a $25 gift card courtesy of Dreamland BBQ. Cole, where they say ain't nothing like them where?
Nowhere.
Ain't nothing like them nowhere. Now it's time to give away our hover helmet this week. We asked for you to give us the college quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. Most points, wins, all that stuff you've been paying attention to all season. Ladies and gentlemen, your winner this week was Charles Kramer.
All right.
Big week for Charles. Too bad he's already won, so he doesn't get a hover helmet this week. But that's huge for the overall standings, which there is just one more technical week of standings that will happen. There's a special twist coming up to that. We'll tell you about that next week. So that means we go to number two on the list, which is silver medalist, but winning a hover helmet this week. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Sparkman.
Yeah.
Nice job, Mike Sparkman. Uncle Mike on Twitter.
Yeah, he'll take a Bama helmet.
Nice job. We don't know
yet. He's got that logo.
We don't know yet. He could be looking for a gift for someone. Maybe a gift for his own man cave. So congratulations there. Now here's what you've all been wanting to know. Where are we at in the overall standings? Now, remember, at the end of the year, we give you a Hubba Helmet champion for having the most points the entire season. Cole, as you can see right here, my spreadsheet's kind of intense, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot going on there.
There's a lot of numbers, a lot of color-coded things for who won what week and where. In first place, right now, with a score of 16,173, feel free to go do the math, Maul. That I'll give you all the text. It will take you much more time than you want to do.
A lot.
Leading right now is Bama B. Rich.
Ooh.
Bama B. Rich is in first place right now. Two strong weeks in a row after a lackluster couple of weeks in weeks 11 and 12. Followed up by him by about 270 points, so not far behind, is Derek Marquez.
Okay.
Third place, about 60 points behind that, is Charles Kramer. About 15 points behind that is Matt Hallam. About 1,100 points behind that is Mike Sparkman. Bill Clark, 200 points behind that. 130 points behind that is Billy Staggs. Darren Sharp is another 200 points behind that. We've got a lot still determined. Now, if you want to know who is in last place right now, I'll tell you. Right now, last place, Arizona J, 270 points on the season. Now, to be fair, he only played once.
I feel like we should have if you only play once, it doesn't count.
It kind of does count.
I feel like you should have we should have like an alternate gift for last place. I always like when people do that. They give the gift for last place as well. Because sometimes it's hard to finish last in these deals.
I'll tell you, let's do some quick math. Who's got the worst amount of points for playing the most weeks? That honor may end up going to. That may end up going to maybe Wayne Carter. Wayne Carter's close. He's about 7,000 off the pace for playing the most amount of weeks and having the least amount of points. It's close. It's close. But we will have one more with a special twist on it. We'll announce that next week when we only have 2 days left. Remember, Wednesday, tomorrow's our last day on the station this week.
Mm.
We got vacation coming up hot. So enjoy that.
So your cold question of the day today, if you want to provide us feedback on that, 866-485-9867.
Yep.
Who is currently the man? 475 votes in now, 67% say Clemson.
Well, they're smart. I mean, they know who just won the national championship.
But Conrad Thompson made a pretty good debate there.
I hear what Conrad says, and I appreciate it. But that's a nostalgic view.
Okay.
And Ric Flair is the all-time man there. All-time. He's won the most championships.
Okay.
I mean, I guess he's tied with John Cena, but I guess no one's calling John Cena the man. Clemson is the new kid on the block. But they're the team that's also got the most recent championship. And it looks like this year, if Alabama wants to be the man, they will have to beat who is currently the man to become a man again.
Fair. Fair.
So, by that proxy, I'm pretty sure in this young man's eyes that Alabama is not the man right now. They're the historical man, but they're the grandpa.
Oh.
Yeah, you're
calling Alabama old?
Yeah, well, they've been around a while, but that means they have a lot of experience. They have all of the other championships. Clemson just has his last one. So I say right now, the man is clearly Clemson.
All right.
It'd be different if they didn't make it in. Like, if Miami had beaten them and made it in, you could then say probably Alabama will be the man again. Because they'd be the most recent national champion, and you wouldn't have to go through them to win it.
Okay.
So let's hear your opinion, Cole.
I think right now Clemson is the man. To be the man, you got to beat the man. They just beat the man. And like you said, they've got the belt. Also, they're number one in the nation right now, heading into the college football playoff. So if Bama wants to be the man, then they'll beat Clemson mm-hmm. in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's that easy for
it
me.
Is. I don't know why. I think people just get a little nostalgic.
Really, like, are the 49ers the man in the NFL?
Well, shouldn't the Steelers be the man?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of a team that's won a lot of championships that's not good anymore. The Cowboys the man in the NFL right now?
Well, no, because we don't have all the championships. I mean, we have a handful of them.
The Packers the man in the NFL right now?
No. The Packers aren't the men.
And the Steelers did beat the Bengals last night, mm-hmm, so it's kind of works. That one works, so you can't say that one anymore. Yeah. Come up with some better one.
Yeah. Are the Yankees the men?
No, especially not with their new manager hire, who's managed zero games in his life.
You know, I said the same
way
thing.
Way to go.
I said the same thing, not the exact same thing.
Fire guy with championship, hire guy with no games managed. Brilliant.
I felt similar about bringing in Joe Girardi, but at least he had managed. I didn't like Joe Girardi. All he did was have like the highest winning percentage ever as a manager, so that's okay. Aaron Boone, I'm definitely not on board with.
How could you be?
Don't like him. Alabama, not the man. But they can be. They can be in literally 4 weeks. Right here on the ump.
We'll continue to update you on that. 866-485-9867 if you want to get in. The coldest takes of the weekend with Fred Siegel of Old Takes Exposed next.